Welcome back to the Midlife Hour Reviews, where we journey deep into the shadows and occasional glimmers of light and our favorite dystopian narratives. Today, we're checking into Hotel Reverie, Black Mirror's hauntingly romantic exploration in Season 7, Episode 3. Imagine stepping through a door and instantly you're transported into another world, another life, a vividly crafted reality from a bygone era, where black and white elegance masks the complexities beneath. We follow Brandy Friday, brilliantly portrayed by Issa Rae, an actress whose identity blurs as she navigates between her real life and a nostalgic virtual 1940s romance, Hotel Reverie. Opposite of her is Clara, brought vividly to life by Emma Corrin, an artificial construct awakening to her own desires, transcending the confines of her scripted existence, and together, they push against the boundaries of technology and emotion, compelling us to confront what is truly what it truly means to be real and to feel genuine love, and to challenge the scripts written for us. Directed beautifully by Hallo Wang, the episode intertwines vintage cinema aesthetics with cutting-edge storytelling. This episode is a poignant reflection on identity, autonomy, and the profound power of connection, echoing beloved episodes like San Junipero, yet charting its own unforgettable course. So prepare yourselves as we check into the Hotel Reverie, exploring love, loss, and the blurred lines between performance and reality. Let's stop inside together, shall we?
If you wanna come to my hotel,
Brandy's big break.
Brandy's big break. So it starts off, Brandy Friday is an actress kind of fed up with her roles as playing like a sidekick. And
being the second lady.
Being the second lady. And she has a chance to play the role of Dr. X Palmer, a male role from this old-ass black-and-white movie that no one watches anymore.
She doesn't have a chance. She decides she wants to play
the
male lead role.
But they weren't sure about it at first, and then they
Well, the whole premise opens up because there's a company who's learned how to generate these virtual reality worlds based on these movie scripts. So they're kind of preying on the studio that's going out of business that has the intellectual IP to several of these old timeless black and white classics. And they're saying, hey, you don't have to go out of business. You can give us the rights to your movies. We'll get this movie made. And so they start targeting actors, the Ryans, Ryan Reynolds, and who's the other Ryan from Baby Driver and all
Gosling, Ryan Gosling.
That's right. Who turned it down. Issa Rae sees the opportunity and she wants to play the male lead role. She wants to break the confines of what the studios and execs have laid before her and wants to do something a little challenging. So she agrees.
It's important to say that the star lead female role of this Hotel Reverie back in the day is a Marilyn Monroe type. And she died from a drug overdose, was it? Or something of the sorts. I think she died in her hotel room from pills. That's just her backstory before the movie was, you know, that it showed like the newspaper clippings of her and all that shit in the beginning. And that was her life outside of the movie. So she was a troubled actress is what she was. So enter ReDream, the tech that makes all this possible. And what,
can we talk about ReDream for a second?
Yeah, please, because it reminds me of like Pixar on crack in VR. It's amazing.
Well, if we're gonna talk about ReDream, we gotta talk about Awkwafina selling the company, being the pitch for it.
That sounds just like Awkwafina.
No. I'm hating. I actually do like Awkwafina as an actress. Was that show she had something from Brooklyn?
Vampire in Brooklyn with Eddie Murphy.
No, I can't remember the name of the show, but no, Awkwafina is a great comedian. Anyway, ReDream, they're creating virtual reality. This is a little bit more closer to modern technology, right? We've already seen this with PlayStation VR and the MetaQuest and all these different AR and VR platforms that are going on. So basically, they're taking advantage of that to reshoot large-scale films within the confines of an artificially generated world, right? Where you only have to put in one real actor and they can reshoot a remake, inserting that person within this AR world. I thought that idea was kind of cool. It's a little sad because it's probably closer to reality than any of the other episodes as far as the future technologies and the threats to creatives and art that it will have, the impact that it'll have. But seems like a cool thing to experience, right? If you can go into one of your favorite films and like live through that story arc, I would do that. I would go back in time and be Simba in The Lion King.
Would you be able to recreate the magic story?
Yeah.
Or would it be a different story entirely?
You think I'm going to like not fall in love with Nala and I'm going to be hitting on her sister or something?
I mean, either way, they're both your cousins. So I mean, you do you on that one.
Man, things start to go awry very quickly as Brandy enters into the world. She's done her homework. She knows the script, but she wasn't prepared to be doing this in some shady, small soundstage that they only have rented for 2 hours. And she enters in the AR world. She makes it through the first couple scenes with a few hiccups, the major being a plot setting hiccup in which the old lady that was supposed to die and drink the poison that she's preventing the Clara character from being assassinated by her husband is drinking by the dog. And the dog ends up dying, which derails the entire plot because then she never meets the inspector, who then will recognize her later on in the episode when the climax happens on the rooftop with the, she confronts the husband who's trying to kill Clara. Anyway, long story short, things get off the rails. And there's a little, you know, neckbeard nerd who's handling the programming, who's being a little reckless with his drinks, spill his coffee on it. Things short circuit and get all jacked up, and they fucking end up going black inside the AR world, and Brandy's stuck in there. She can't leave this movie set or this movie until they complete the plot and the credits roll. And in that time frame, what we discover is that Brandy's character, you know, prior to going to agreeing to this movie, did all this research on Clara, or the actress that played her, and has started to have this artistic connection to her, and in turn ends up using some of her knowledge about her and the things that she was going to make that emotional connection with this artificially generated version of her inside the film. And when things go haywire, it looks like they spend like weeks together, right? Outside months. Of the script.
Months.
And they end up falling in love, and Brandy starts to question whether or not the love is just part of Clara's written code or her commitment to the script of the movie, or if it's something genuine. And she never has the time to get that answer because things get reset.
And I think it's crazy that she went a little haywire herself, Brandy, when she was just going off telling her, you're not real, you're AI, you're AI. You're an actress. This is all set. And that's what really made shit like the butterfly effect really take off. That's just really shut everything down. I don't know. But the chick that played the AI lady, I think she was the best actor in the whole episode, personally.
Well, I think Issa Rae, while an actress, I do think she's a better writer.
Yeah, she didn't sell me for much of anything in this episode. She was too enthusiastic for some scenes that should have been a lot darker.
It was just very out of place.
Yeah, absolutely. But she did her best.
I thought she did a good job in the sequence in which the movie script is broken and everyone's frozen. It's just her and Clara. I thought those scenes and that narrative would lend better to Issa Rae's acting than trying to follow along with the script. And maybe that was a creative choice. You know, maybe it's supposed to feel unnatural. I mean, you have a modern person inside of a film written and directed in the 90s, a different time, different culture. And then she's playing a completely different gender. So maybe that was a creative choice. But no, overall, this episode, for me, while interesting, I could have lived without it.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I thought the only really interesting scene was when she steps outside of the actual movie, per se, into the all black, and she can download and access all of her actual files of herself, her actual persons, her actual being, you know? And she found out how she died of that drug overdose and all that. And you could really see how that kind of made her okay to die. You know?
So the correct answer, right? The narrative choice is that the story, well, supposed to be about a movie, a romantic movie, whose like tagline is "I'll be yours forevermore." And that sequence at the end of the movie is supposed to roll the credits. It's the whole theme of it being a romance movie. So the correct answer is like these two individuals who are playing a role, who are operating off a script, whose destiny within the confines of that script is supposed to resolve here, end up naturally resolving in that place because they've had that opportunity to learn who each other is and fall in love with each other. So what once was an acted portrayal of a love story ends up becoming a real portrayal of a love story, which ends with this time, instead of Clara's love interest saving her and saying I'll be yours forevermore, with her sacrificing herself for Brandy. And Brandy delivering those lines. That was probably the best acting. She did act that part very well when Clara's dying and she says, I'll be yours forevermore. And then when she's awakened from the AI generated world, you know, she's kind of still in tears, still in emotional shock from what she has gone through. So I thought that was pretty good. But yeah, that's essentially the episode. Not my cup of tea. My final rating is going to be a 6.5.
I was expecting a 5 for you on this one.
Wow, you think I'm a big pessimist, don't you?
No, I was going to give it a 5. That's what I'm going to
You do you, boo-boo.
On 50-50. And I only give it a 5 because played out on the whole AI stories. It's just two episodes so far that's kind of been big on the bandwagon of what everyone's talking about in the past 2 years. So we'll see how the next episode sits.
Well, those are our thoughts. Let us know yours down in the comments section. We will reply, we will respond, we will challenge, or maybe we'll agree. Thanks for joining us. This has been the Midlife Hour Reviews.
And don't recreate dead people for amusement, please.
All I wanna know is, can I eat a sub?